Scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. John 19, 19 through 22. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place was where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written.
One of the Bible characters that interacted with Jesus was Pilate. The Bible often refers to Pilate as Pontius Pilate. The name Pontius means that he was from a Roman family. This man was the governor of Judea and Samaria. He reigned from AD 26 to 36 AD. When he was appointed, he was in his early 30s, and that tells us that when he and Jesus met, they were about the same age. From what we know, as far as history is concerned, and even what the New Testament says, Pilate was a ruler who was not very wise. History says that he was someone who was proud, hot-tempered, and obstinate. When he didn't get his way, he became childish. The verses that Don read just a few moments ago suggest that childish nature. A sign was made to describe who Jesus was. The sign said that Jesus was King of the Jews. The chief priest, John 19:21, saw the sign and they objected. They said, right that he claimed that he was King of the Jews. Pilate's stubbornness and childish state can be seen from his reply. He said, What I have written, I have written. I'm not going to change it. As we look at the New Testament, we find that Pilate was someone who was married. The Bible does not have a lot to say about his wife, but what it does say is interesting. We can learn a couple of facts if we look at the life of this couple. Historical records say that Pilate's wife was the granddaughter of the Emperor Augustus. She thus was someone who was from royalty. She was a lady who was sophisticated, someone who was cultured, and someone who was sensitive. It seems that she was a very good woman. So as we look at Pilate and his wife, here's what we have. On the one hand, there is a man who is a husband. He is childish, he's hot-tempered, and he's proud. On the other hand, he is married to a woman who has some very different qualities. She is a wonderful wife. In the world, we still find people sometimes who have that kind of marital relationship. Most of us have seen a woman who seems to be a good woman from all indications who ended up marrying a rotten husband. We see that from time to time. People talk about that from time to time, and that seems to be the picture that we have concerning Pilate and his wife. The relationship between these two people is briefly described in Matthew 27:19. If you want to follow along, this would be the passage that I would encourage you to find. This chapter, Matthew 27, describes a custom. There was a time during each year when a prisoner was released. On this occasion, it's noted that one of two prisoners could have been let go. There was an insurrectionist named Barabbas, and the other choice was Jesus. Pilate, it seems, was giving the crowd a little time to answer him, and it was during this time that Pilate's wife sent a message to him. Her message is found in Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. If you found that verse, let's take a look at it now. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. This is an interesting statement. Pilate's wife called Jesus a righteous man. How did she know that? The text doesn't tell us. This woman had experienced a dream about Jesus that troubled her. This wife's counsel to her husband was, have nothing to do with this man. He's a righteous man. You need to leave him alone. And we know that Pilate did not listen to his wife's instructions. It's true that he wanted to release Jesus, but he lacked the courage to do what's right. So in places like John 19:16, we find, then therefore he, that is Pilate, delivered him, Jesus, to be crucified. Here was a man who was married to a woman who knew what was right. She knew the right course. She tried to tell her husband what was right. She sent a message to him. She contacted him. But Pilate wouldn't listen. As you look at the Bible, you find that this is not the only time when a husband failed to listen to his wife. There are other occasions. Another occasion, and I'm going to look at this one and spend some time on it, is found in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 25. This chapter, you may remember, the story tells us about two people, Nabal and Abigail. This couple was a lot like Pilate and his wife. Abigail was a wonderful lady. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 3, it said that Abigail was a beautiful woman. The story that is recorded suggests that she was someone who was thoughtful, kind, and generous. But as you look at the other half of the marriage, that is, Nabal, her husband was anything but kind and courteous. He was a businessman, and he was rich, 1 Samuel 25, 2, but that's about all that can be said about him as far as positive qualities. Notice the description in verse 3, 1 Samuel 25. Now the name of the husband was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And the woman was of good understanding and of beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. The word churlish meant hard, rough, and rude. The Bible says this man was someone who was evil. He was someone who was crude. He was wicked. He was cruel. Well, this chapter describes a time when David and his men were hungry. David sent his men to get some food from Nabal. And this is recorded in 1 Samuel 25, verse 5, and I'm going to read that as well. And David sent 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get ye up to Carmel, and go to Nabal. Greet him in my name. In other words, we have some men, they're hungry, they need some food. Go see Nabal and ask him for some help. Well, the Bible says the servants were sent on a good day, verse 8, and that describes a feast day. On a feast day, there would have been plenty of food. So it was not a situation where David was asking this family to go into the kitchen or go out and do something special, but there was plenty of food that was available. And David was simply saying, I want you to share with us some of your food. And the end of verse 8 shows that David was willing to take whatever was offered. Well, the response that David got, the response that Nabal gave, is in verses 10, 11, and 12. The Bible says this man was an evil man, he was a rude man, and that's exactly what the text describes. The servants have come to Nabal, and this is what he said. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays that break away or run away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give unto men of whom I know not whence they are? So David's young men turned on their way and went back and came and told him according to all these words. Now it sounds as if Nabal did not know who David was. But this was a facade. It was a pretense. It was an act. If you look at verses 16 and 21, you find that David had washed Nabal's sheep. This man knew exactly who David was, but he receives this request and he simply doesn't want to participate. He is a churlish man. He is a man who is evil. He is rotten to the core. He is a wicked and selfish man. So he simply says, well, that David character, he must be some worthless wanderer, and I've never heard of him before. His wife, Abigail, knew her husband quite well, and in 25a, she referred to him as a worthless fellow. If your wife calls you a worthless fellow, you're in bad shape. And that's how this woman described her mate. At the end of verse 25, she said that folly was with her man. Nabal was someone who was also involved with alcohol, heavily involved, at least on this occasion. Verse 36 says that he was very drunken. Now, if you have a man who has all of these qualities, there are certainly going to be times in life when he needs help. A nature like the one described in 1 Samuel 25 suggests that this kind of person would make enemies on a regular basis. Problems would have been created with the involvement with alcohol. And on this occasion, Nabal's stupidity made David angry. When he got this word from the servants, Nabal had dismissed him out of hand. He pretended that he didn't know who he was. David was ready to kill him. And we know that because of what's said in verse 13. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man a sword. And David also girded on a sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the baggage. David has armed 400 men. And he said, fellas, let's go. If you have 400 people who have been armed, they're not going to make a social call. David rallied the troops. He and his men were ready to go and take vengeance on Nabal. Before David could reach Nabal's house, the Bible says that Abigail came along and she interceded. Before David could come and kill her husband, this woman got busy. And we see this again drawing from the same chapter in verses 18, 20, and 24. And that's where we want to look now. Beginning with verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed. and 5 measures of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. Moving down to verse 20. And it was so, as she rode on her ass and came down by the covert of the mountain, that behold, David and his men came down towards her, and she met them. Now verse 24. And she fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me be the iniquity, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine ears, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid. One of the key verses in this account is verse 17, backing up a few verses. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his house. For he is such a worthless fellow that one cannot speak to him. Notice the latter part of that verse. Abigail was married to a man who would not listen to anyone. Here was a man who did not want to listen to anyone but himself. He was not receptive to his wife's counsel. He was certainly not interested in hearing from David. So as we look at both Matthew 27 and 1 Samuel 25, we find that at least two couples had the same problem. There are at least two couples in Scripture who had significant difficulties in the area of communication. There were wives who had important information for the husbands, but the husbands said, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to do that. We're not going to follow the information that you have. Nabal put his life at risk because he was not willing to listen to his wife. Pilate consented to crucifying the Son of God because he was not willing to listen to his wife. Today, the point may be made that there are a number of people, a number of men who make the same kind of mistake. It's true that wives are not always right. There are times when spouses make suggestions that are simply wrong. We know that because in the book of Job, Job's wife offered a proposal. She said, because of all your problems, curse God and die. We can fix things for you. That was poor advice. It was the wrong thing to do. No spouse is going to be right all the time. But David was a man who did treasure advice, at least on this occasion he did. He was someone who at times made serious mistakes. He was not a flawless man, but on this occasion there was a woman who wanted to tell him something, and the Bible says he listened. If you're still in 1 Samuel 25, skip down, if you will, to verse 32. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. David listened. The hero of Israel did more, though, than listen to this lady. Looking at the next verse, 33, he said, And blessed be thy discretion, and blessed be thou, that thou hast kept me this day from blood guiltness, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Here was a man who listened to a woman, and he praised her. He said, essentially, thank you for the input that you've given to me. He said that what she told him was valuable information. As we look at life and people, we find that no marriage is perfect. But as we look at Matthew 17 and 1 Samuel 25, we find that in both Testaments, one of the keys to making a marriage work is communication. Listening. Men are often the ones who are the least likely to listen. At least that's what I seem to have learned over the last 20 years in dealing with people. Wives try to tell their husbands things, and it's often the case that men are the ones who pay the least amount of attention. There's some men who reject their spouse's input or refuse to listen on a regular basis, and both Testaments show that that approach to life, if we're married or if we will ever be married, can have dire consequences. David had the right approach. Here was a woman who wanted to offer some input, and in verses 32 and 33 of 1 Samuel chapter 25, he counted that as a divine blessing, something good from God. And that should be the kind of attitude that men have towards their wives. A wife, to use biblical terminology, is a helpmeet. Some of that help comes in the form of suggestions, input, and advice. It's certainly the case that not all of the advice that comes from a spouse will be right. But husbands have, and the same is true for wives, but husbands needs to be emphasized this morning, husbands have an obligation to listen to and follow that advice when it's right. If you doubt that, if you're not fully convinced and you're still in 1 Samuel 25, let's move all the way down to verse 37. And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Nabal didn't want to listen to anyone, including his wife, and he died. He paid a significant price for his stubbornness and his strong opinions. Other men have followed that same kind of course and have had to suffer unnecessary consequences. Men don't need to suffer that fate or similar fate. And the same is true for wives as well. The Bible, as we look at it, whether it's the old or new, teaches that we can learn from the examples that are found in Scripture. Again and again, the Bible shows us that the best way to live is the way that God describes. And one of those ways has been given this morning. There are certainly other ways, but the overriding principle is God's Word gives us the best path in life to take. Is that the path that we've taken? Have we decided that we're going to follow the Bible in life? We begin that journey by becoming a Christian, and to begin that walk, the Bible talks about the need for faith. We need to believe. If we don't believe, we're not going to follow the system. And if we believe, the Bible talks about repentance. That simply means that we choose in our own minds, we decide, we determine that we're going to follow God and His Word. And then once we're ready to confess Christ as Lord, the Bible says that we are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. And then we continue to do our best to live as a faithful Christian. Have we become a Christian in the way that the Bible describes? And are we trying to use God's Word as we go through life each day? If you say no to either question, this morning we can either help you become a Christian by baptizing you into Christ, or we can study with you, pray with you, encourage you to live in the way that the Bible describes. If we can help you on either count or some other way, we'll help you publicly or privately. If you'd like to make a need known to the people here who are here this morning, the people who are here and ready to help right now, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.